Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When we share the gospel, we should always look for common points of interest. If you wonder what you might have in common with someone that you are getting to know, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of Jesus' letter to the church at Philadelphia in verses 7 through 13.
We've tried to do evangelism in a lot of places. Never been an open door for us. The Lord opened up a door for us in India. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, and there are many adversaries, but he's opened up a door for us. He's opened up a door for a couple that worship here to be involved in evangelism in Italy. He's opened up a door for a couple that worships with us down in Gospel for Asia. He's opened up a door. You may be opening up a couple of other doors for us. I got a call last week from a dear friend of mine, and talking about doing some evangelism in northern Iraq. Of course, that went over really good when I mentioned that to my wife. She simply said, "Do you ever consider going anywhere where they're not on a hostile nation list, or they're not bombing somebody?" But when God calls you, you go. You go, right? Now, so just pray for that. Pray for that for me. Pray for that for my wife. Something about going to northern Iraq kind of like turns me on. I know. You're off your rocker. Yeah, I think it's great. We'll see. If it's the Lord, it'll happen. If it's not... I don't believe in crowbar evangelism. I believe we pray. We seek the Lord. Personally speaking, he just opens up doors for us. He does that. We need to be sensitive to those open doors, those open opportunities. Now, you guys laugh, but a lot of those open doors and opportunities are given to me at a grocery store. Why at Wegmans? I don't know. You know, my wife, my dear wife, sometimes will send me with a list to the store, and she'll say, "No, honey, listen, I really need these ingredients for dinner." In other words, try not to be long. And if you're going to be long, call me. And I just love it. I love grocery shopping and praying. Lord, open up a door. Open up a door. If it's your will, open up a door. Open up a door. Open up a door. Sometimes nothing. Sometimes. And here's where it really challenges us. There's somebody that you don't know from Adam. And they look really distraught. You go, "You okay?" I mean, this is in aisle 10. They look at you. "Are you okay? Can I pray for you?" Huh? But we need to be listening to the Lord. I remember one time standing in front of the deli counter. True story. And all I did was say, "I'd like to have a quarter pound of salami and a quarter pound of ham." And somebody says, "Now, this was a few years ago, are you on the radio?" I said, "Yeah." "Boy, could I talk to you?" I go, "Well, you know, I'm number 10 of 30 people. Go ahead, let's talk." You know what I'm talking about. It happens all the time. A waitress comes and says, "Can I help you?" "Yeah, you can." "Can we help you?" "What do you mean? What can we pray for?" She's got to come back now. Just in a natural way. Looking for those open doors. But how do we determine those doors? How do we determine as a church those doors? I think of in Acts chapter 13, it says that now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian that had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Every area of evangelism that we are involved with this church, I can tell you, whether it be homeless evangelism, nursing home evangelism, going over to Parkside, going to India, whatever, every single area of evangelism has been the Spirit of God opening doors and speaking to our hearts. I want you to go here. I want you to go there. I want you to pursue this. I want you to do that. It's not that we sit at our monthly leadership meetings and say, okay, here's a map of the world. Now you throw a dart, and where there's the greatest collection of darts, we'll go there. No, you know what? You get on your face. And they minister to the Lord. What do you think that means? They minister to the Lord. When was the last time you and I just ministered to the Lord? What's going through your mind? They're ministering to the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. They are adoring the Lord. They're magnifying the Lord. They're seeking the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost speaks. You realize, beloved, now this may run cross-grain to some of your theological persuasions. The Holy Ghost still speaks tonight. He still speaks. He still gives directions, instruction. He still speaks. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I want to be in tune. If God is on FM, I want to be on FM. I don't want AM. I want to be in tune with Him. I want to hear what He has to say. He doesn't need my wisdom. I need His. And here are a group of individuals, group of leaders praying, Lord, open doors. And God speaks. As I said a moment ago, biblical evangelism is not a decision that is reached by man or by a board. It's a call from God. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them to. I mentioned this morning how the Apostle Paul in prison talked about prayer and being thankful. And he says, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray and look for those open doors or open opportunities that are presented to you by the Lord. He'll make them. He'll open those doors. All we need to do is make ourselves available. Stay intimate with the Lord. Stay close to the Lord and put yourself in a position of usability. Lord, use me. And He will. He may use you, call upon you in places that are very, very uncomfortable to get you and I out of our comfort zones. But He will use you. Mark it. He will. Because He's the one that says, pray for laborers. Okay, Lord, I'm going into your harvest field tonight. It may be going to Eastview Mall. It might be going to Gold's Gym. It might be going to this library. It might be going to this grocery store. But Lord, I'm going into this harvest field. You open the door. Now, honestly, do you ever pray before you do those things? No, you know what we do? We join our hands at the Rochester International Airport because we're going to India. Pray before you go to Wegmans. Watch. And you know what will happen? Not only will He open doors for you in His time, when you pray, He'll even show you sales. You get more than what you asked for. Remember the lame man in Acts chapter 3? He was looking for silver and gold. God gave him much more than he was looking for. Prayerful grocery shopping. Lord, where do you want me to go? It's interesting, amazing to me. You know, just, Lord, you've opened up such a wonderful door in India. I'm hearing such wonderful things that you're doing in Italy with the homeless ministry and at Parkside and with the nursing home ministry. Lord, is there somewhere else that you might want me to go or us to go? Ring! Voicemail. Ray! How are you? Haven't talked to you in a year. Your buddy here. Fill in the blanks. You up to going to northern Iraq? My, oh my. I didn't tell Lizzie that for at least 2 or 3 days. And I haven't spoken about it in about 2 or 3 days. So it's in the prayer vault. Evangelism. I think of how in Acts chapter 8, Philip is called by and anointed by God to go into the city of Samaria. God's Spirit is upon this man. People are being saved. People are being healed. I mean, there is revival going on. Things are happening. But the Spirit of God says to Philip, come into a desert. Wait a minute. Lord, there's multitudes here. Things are happening. Things are really moving here, Lord. Go into Gaza. Step one. You'll never know what step two is until you obey step one. Step one, go to Gaza. She goes to Gaza. I'm wondering. There's no time frame in it. What's going on here? Now, do you think in the back of his mind he's thinking, oh, evangelism, revival, healing, people getting saved. And now he's just seen brush and tumbleweed and everything. Well, this is really, did I hear from the Lord? Did I really hear from the Lord? And then there is this Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot. And he just so happens to be reading Isaiah 53. Philip just so happens to be there. Just so happens. The guy in the chariot says to Philip, is this prophet speaking about himself or someone else? Philip gets up in the chariot, shares the Lord with him. The Spirit of God opens his heart, opens his understanding. There's conviction of sin. There's illumination. There's revelation. There's a body of water. And he says, what does hinder me from being water baptized? It means, what hinders me from making a real commitment to Jesus Christ? He says, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says, yes, I do. Go, let's go. You see what's going on here in Acts chapter 8? There is what you and I would call mass evangelism. And then there's one-on-one. Never think in terms of numbers when it comes to evangelism. Spirit-filled evangelism might be for the multitudes. It might be for the stadiums. But primarily, it's one-on-one. Now, there's not a whole lot of lights and camera and action, outwardly speaking. But my Bible tells me, our Bible tells us, that when one sinner repents, heaven starts rejoicing. Philip, he had to be in tune with the Spirit for God to call him out of a place that was alive and thriving to hear the Spirit of God say, go to Gaza. How we need to be open. How we need to be listening to the voice of God's Spirit. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, having a good conversation, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. A couple of things here. I'll be done in a moment. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready. Just be ready. Be ready to share the gospel, to share the hope that you have within you. Rarely does God call upon us when we are prepared, anticipating it. It's usually when we're not anticipating it. So we have to always be ready. Remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and there was the Father that had the Son that was filled with these demons and the disciples could not cast the demons out? Jesus tells them, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The implication is, well, if you would have told us ahead of time, we would have been ready. You know what the Lord tells us? Be ready now. Be ready tonight. Be ready for that phone call. Be ready for that interruption. Be ready to be used to share the gospel. And notice, having a good conscience, having a lifestyle that matches what we believe. I don't need to tell you that there are some people that are turned off to the gospel, the true gospel, when it's preached, but when it's coming from a corrupt vessel. Our behavior must line up with our beliefs. Motives for evangelism? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, wherefore we labor, verse 9, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted with him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, notice two things here. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. One of the things that I hope we're learning as a church family is how great and awesome and holy and powerful our God is. The God of Scripture is being mocked, ridiculed by lost man. And part of the reason is because of our unfaithfulness. Knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul the Apostle not only knew the good news, but he also knew that if anybody was to reject this gospel, a terrifying thing would happen. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing, do you and I know the terror of the Lord? When somebody says, I don't need the Lord, I can do without the Lord, does it jar you inside? Say, you don't know what you're saying. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But then Paul goes on and he says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us. He was driven by love. There's something that I pray for our church families, that whatever we do, we are driven by the love of Christ. That we are driven by the love of Christ. If it's leading worship, leading prayer, teaching the Sunday school, opening a door, parking a car, giving money, whatever we do, that we would be driven by love of Christ in doing whatever we do for Him, for His glory, with great delight. Listen, saints, the Lord is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Remember that. He says, the love of Christ constrains me. Tools of evangelism, prayer, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, confidence in the power of God, confidence in the Word of God, confidence in the love of God, confidence in the grace of God. Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Beloved, never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And this I can tell you, every demon in hell knows that as well. And that's why they will do anything to intimidate us, to cause us to shut up. But when God and His Spirit opens a door. Go through it. Pray through it. All the way through it. Plant. Water. And watch God work. We're made right in the sight of God by faith in Christ alone. Christ is the gospel. Let us never forget, beloved, that the righteousness of God is an imputed righteousness. It's not an earned righteousness. The saving grace of God is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift that comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There is no other gospel. Paul the Apostle would so boldly say in Galatians chapter 1, if any man or if any angel preach any other gospel than that which I preach unto you, let him, and it literally reads like this, be cursed to the lowest hell. And then he says, do I therefore now persuade men or God? Do I serve men or God? If I am a slave to men, I cease being a servant of the living God. Beloved, we have been given a great privilege. God has set before us an open door. And you and I, as His children, it is our responsibility every day when we wake up. In fact, I'll back that up. On the way home, if you're stopping at a store, don't just stop thinking that you're stopping there for bread. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Be open to the fact that there may be a clerk, someone else in that store, someone at that gas pump. Well, that's another thing of them, you know, pumping gas. And then there's some soul over there, and God opens up an opportunity. But keep your eye on what you're pumping in there. Pretty embarrassing when you're expecting to put $10 in and you're witnessing, and all of a sudden there's $30. Oh, wait a minute, $30. Okay, well, you know, but the Lord loves sinners more than you and I do. And He's looking for people to just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And He will. He will. In the most wonderful way. Look for the opportunities. Look for the open doors. Let us not be blinded in our thinking. When you are reading this, when we are reading the scriptures, there is something that just hits me. How often the supernatural is working in the most natural way. God's Spirit is alive and well on this planet, alive and well in His children. And may we be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led congregation in how we live, in how we pray, in how we evangelize. May we be praying that, because the time is short. So I pray that the Lord encouraged you tonight, and that you would remember, you, dear one, have been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are in His hand, and no one will pluck you out ever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His
holy, His wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.